Chicago Bulls coverage show. I am your host, Keith Cork, and I am joined, as always, by my good buddy here and co-host, Mr. Trey Hill, to help break you down another week of Chicago Bulls action. I want to say it's week 8, I believe, off the top of my head. I did say week 7 last week, I think, so we're going to go with week 8. So a couple months into the season, Trey, you know, we've gotten a pretty good sample size of what this Bulls team is, but first and foremost, we are recording on Sunday night, as we pretty much always do, and just finished that Bulls-Hawks game. So, in a few words, describe how that felt as a Bulls fan.
Depressing. It was just, I said right before we came on the pod, it felt like one of those games when you're playing Madden, and the computer has just decided your team is not destined to win this game tonight. And the Bulls, they had plenty of chances to pull it out, and it didn't turn out that way.
Yeah, it's a real disappointing one because, you know, like I said, I went to the game on Saturday. I'm wearing my new Bulls hat, by the way. It's like a white hat with a collage of different things on there. There's Chicago flags and different Bulls banners.
You picked the right game to go to. It was,
yeah.
I was excited to talk to you after that game because everything was just pointing in the right direction.
I was hoping to see Luka Doncic. Obviously, that wasn't in the cards. So my luck this weekend has been not so great, obviously, because no Doncic. He did sit out, which I don't blame him necessarily. I think, man, we're living in an age now. Let me just say this. We're living in an age now where you can't just – like, literally, they're in Milwaukee. They had to drive down the highway, sleep for maybe 10, 11 hours, and then get up and play a basketball game. Like, dude, like, how is that too much? Like, I guess you're – odds of
being at least he had a quad strain. At least he had an injury and he wasn't listed as rest.
I'm gonna put quotes on that, but yeah, maybe he did. Anyways, it was a good game. The Bulls set a franchise record for points in the first half there. It was really just shooting practice. Like, that's how I described it. I was like, you know, there was no defensive pressure on Zach LaVine at all. There was no defensive pressure on Kobe White. You know, they were just getting whatever they wanted to get, and that was fun. I actually went to the shop with like 6 minutes left in the game because I was like, this is just – why watch this? You know, I mean, Dejan Terry got into the game, so I did miss that, but that's okay. But, no, it was a lot of fun. But, yeah, let's talk more about this Hawks game, obviously. Yeah, you said it's like a – for me, it was a gut punch for sure. You know –
Watching the Bulls struggle once again with a zone was, mm-hmm. I think, the most disappointing thing for me. It was Derek Jones Jr. not knocking down that free throw at the end. That sucked. But he was great all game. Like, I'm not gonna hate on him for missing a free throw. The lob to win the game with 0.5 seconds. That's a gut punch, like you said. But it's also a really great play by a really great player, and that sucks. But if the Bulls would just be able to execute against the zone, they wouldn't be in this position.
It's a difficult play, but like, the thing that ticked me off, Trey, is that, you know, it's 0.5 seconds. Like, why are we guarding anybody out beyond the 3-point? Like, I would rather them catch and shoot a fadeaway 3-pointer with 0.5 seconds left than have any kind of lob at the rim. So I was pretty ticked off that there wasn't anybody on the backside that was ready to anticipate that, because it felt to me like that was the only play that could have beaten us in that moment. So that's what really irked me about it.
Well, with the first play they ran before they had to call a timeout, it looked like they were running one for Bogdanović, just curling off to the left there. Mm-hmm. And so I think the Bulls kind of had that in mind. I thought the coverage was pretty good on the lob. It just seemed like a perfect pass and, you know, the perfect finish to me. I guess if you were going to have one critique, I think Vucevic was on the inbounds. Maybe also have Drummond in there, mm-hmm. as a rim protector, mm-hmm. Just to guard against the lob threat.
Yeah, I literally would have stuck somebody at the rim just because that's the one thing, you know, that's the one high percentage shot you can give up in that situation. So it was kind of a lapse to me. But at the same time,
hard to knock Donovan with the coaching challenge coming through the clutch.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not knocking Donovan either. And it was a difficult shot that I think it was A.J. Griffin hit that game winner. Difficult shot for him to make, obviously. So I'm not like – It's just the universe hates us, and that's why I'm ticked off. I'm not necessarily ticked off.
After that great Mavericks win, if the Bulls beat the Hawks tonight, they can beat the Knicks Wednesday and Friday, and then go into next week 500. Instead, now the Bulls are sitting 11-15, looking at those two Knicks games instead of, you know, looking at maybe getting back to 500.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener Salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
I was already set to like tell you, okay, the Bulls won tonight, and so the Hawks actually, the Hawks would have dropped like 3 places in the standings, and the Bulls would have jumped the Heat, and the Hawks would have been directly above the Bulls, so that would have been a really interesting thing. But of course, now the Bulls are still stuck in like 11th, I think it is, that we're currently in, and it's just, oh, man. But yeah, the schedule is lightening up now. You can feel it. This back to back though, I mean, they really needed to get this win, Trey, because yesterday's game was nothing. I mean, Saturday's game, you know, against the Mavs was not an actual game. There was no effort expelled.
But it was a back to back, but it wasn't nearly as strenuous as most of them are.
They
and
did have to try.
The Hawks were without John Collins and DeJounte Murray. Yeah. And I know the Bulls are missing some players too. Io went out, I think, with only 14 minutes.
Did hurt. That hurt.
Yeah, that, you know, the Trae Young stopper.
Mm-hmm. No, it did. Yeah, it did. And I mean, Trey still didn't have a great game. I think he shot like 5 of 14 from the field or something like that. But
he didn't have a great shooting game, but he had an excellent game playing the pick and roll, throwing those lobs, just absolutely abusing our defense. He had 14 assists. So he didn't have a good shooting game, but I would say he is the reason the Hawks won the game. And DeMar was the reason that the Bulls almost managed to win this one.
Yeah, and I thought it was a good call at the end with the 3 free throws for DeMar. Was happy that he hit them all, but then just that lapse, it's gonna haunt me. But it is what it is. We move on. I don't really feel like there's a whole lot the Bulls could have done differently in this game. I mean, it was kind of there was definitely like the middle of that game just felt like a lull. Like the Bulls were falling back by 10. It felt like, I don't know. The energy just wasn't
that
there.
Was
like,
when they, that, that was when the they hit the, put the zone in. At the beginning of the game, the Bulls, they were getting good shots. I even wrote down in my notes that it felt like the Bulls should have been up by like 5 or 7 there towards the beginning of the game, because they were getting really quality looks by kind of targeting Trae Young on defense. And then midway through the first into the second, it seemed like they went into that zone, and the Bulls just – DeMar's – like, he's got better at playmaking. I posted some stuff from Zach LaVine's playmaking, but they're not necessarily quick processors. Everything they do is kind of slow and methodical. And against a zone, that's just death against a zone. Kobe White was – I think the reason he got 31 minutes was because he was the guy attacking the zone the best, I thought. And he had a great game, too, tonight. So, again, I'm going to keep harping on it, but that – not being able to counter the zone and being able to let a team like the Hawks just go up 10 points on you because you're drowning in the zone, that's something that great teams don't let happen to them.
That's true. So that is a concern, obviously. That is a good point, Trey. I mean, they struggle because they have their spots on the floor where they go to score. And when there's something that impedes that, it's just like they have no ability to adjust. But, yeah, Kobe White, I mean, obviously Io went out, so that helped him get a few more extra minutes too. But I did feel like he had a really good game. He's been playing really well ever since he's been back in the lineup, and it's been good to see. So, you know, I think some good takeaways from this last week, you know, definitely Kobe White playing well. I think, you know, still raising, if we want to trade him, raising that trade stock. But I think also it's pointing out something that we've hinted at in the past, Trey, in that, you know, Kobe White's ability to make plays and to shoot the basketball are something that's really not expendable for this team as it's currently constructed. So I think there's definitely a decision to be made there this offseason. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they bring him back in that role. I don't think he's going to be a starter in this league, but I think he's a pretty decent bench player and a very gifted scorer, obviously. So talk to me a little bit about Kobe White and what you've seen this past week.
Just excellent play. I don't have the stats in front of me from the previous games, but tonight even, he played 31 minutes. He handled the ball a lot. He had 4 assists and no turnovers. So he's taking care of the ball. And he only shot 4 of 12. He was 4 of 9 from 3. But he's so consistently quick in attacking, whether he's shooting, whether he's driving, or whether he's just moving the ball. He is constant. And Caruso is – and he was out tonight. He's another guy who is pretty quick with those decisions. But I still feel like White is maybe the quickest on the team in just deciding and taking action. So – I love him coming off the bench because he's just that – like, Javonte Green's a spark, but he's an off-ball spark. Kobe White is an on-ball spark.
Yeah. And, yeah, Kobe's really flashed the ability to make plays, not necessarily being the primary ball handler, but being the guy that receives, you know, the pass and has the either the open shot or the ability to fake and then drive the basketball and then make a play from there. I think, you know, you call that kind of a connector, right? And that's kind of the, you know, a area of the game where he excels. So I really liked what I've seen out of him. Andre Drummond, too. We got to talk about Andre Drummond. When I went to go watch the game yesterday in person, that was one thing. Him and Derrick Jones Jr. really stood out to me just because of their above the rim play. Like, I don't think watching on TV does it justice. I think, you know, being in the actual stadium and watching these guys, you know, go above people and go over people and finish these, you know, slam dunks and get these rebounds, I think that was really impressive to me. And I'm not the biggest Andre Drummond fan. I mean, I've said that before. I'm on record on this show. You know, I do think, you know, there was even a couple points tonight where it's like he made some really boneheaded decisions. He threw a full court pass that was just not very good. When we were right in the middle of a run, he got a rebound under the hoop and like just couldn't score against nobody. He had like nobody in front of him, and he just like, you know, dribbled it around and couldn't get it in the rim hoop for some reason. So I'm not like the biggest Andre Drummond fan, but he is.
Do you have the box score up in front of you? Don't look at it if you don't.
I don't. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how many steals do you think Andre Drummond had tonight?
Well, I saw it earlier. He had 5 when I looked. So
5. Yeah. I don't know that I remember a single steal from Andre Drummond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of weird because I don't either. You know, just kind of like, he gets deflections, but like I think other people grab the ball, and that's why it's not necessarily like something you see.
But it's not something fresh in our brains, but he's right. The one that deflects the ball so they can get it. Yeah. So he does get the steal because he's the one responsible for it. But just looking at it, like without going back and watching, like I saw that and I was like, you know, I don't think I can recall a single one of those. But yeah. He was huge tonight on both ends. Literally, he was huge. He was so big, yeah. Some monstrous dunks, and just really taking the time to kind of just try and bring the big man back. It seems like he was just ready to bang down low and just, I like having that. You know, I love the small ball. I love the Bulls small ball potential, but I also like having a big guy that can come off the bench and really bang. And that's what Andre Drummond can do. And he showed that tonight.
Yeah. It brings a different dimension to the game. It's something that the Bulls are lacking. I mean, you know, Vooch is a very talented player, but I wouldn't say he overpowers people. Whereas Drummond, definitely, that's his game, is overpowering people in the paint. That's like the only thing he does, but he does it very well. But yeah, actually, and speaking of Drummond, you know, one of the other impressive things from yesterday, going to the Mavs and Bulls game, was being able to see in person the connection between Dragic and Drummond, and they connected on at least 3 alley oops, from what I can remember. And I just hope, Trey, that like, you know, Io or somebody, another guard on our team, can make a, you know, connection like that with another center on our team or just a high flying guy, because that is a lot of fun to watch. Because like, they're not even, there's absolutely no indication that he's going to throw that lob, and Drummond just seems to know exactly where it's going to go. So they are just like on the same page at all times, which is really impressive to watch. So I didn't see a lot out of Dragic in this game necessarily, but I still wanted to point that out from when I watched it in person.
Right, and having those two together, especially being on the second unit, when you have that kind of chemistry running against other second units, that's something that you can really exploit, I feel like. So, great thing to have coming off the bench. It was nice to have Javonte Green come back. He played 14 minutes. And Derek Jones Jr., 6 of 7 tonight. He, I thought his effort out there was just excellent tonight. And just, I mean, really, everyone's effort was pretty good. I thought it was just really that zone kind of put them in that hole. And the Hawks are a talented team. And when you get down 10 to, a Hawks team that has Trae Young actually playing and playing well, that's a big hole to dig out of. And they dug out twice, and the ball just didn't fall for them.
Yeah, unlucky. But hey, it was good to see Bogdan Bogdanovich, after he's been out with injuries. He's been balling the last couple of games. He had like 31, I think it was, last game. In this game, he had 28. So it was actually kind of fun to watch him kind of ball out, even though, he's on the other team. Kind of happy for him, coming back from kind of a tough injury that kept him out a long time. Bulls did a good job, as we said, on Trae Young. It was, also fun to see AJ Griffin. He had not a great shooting night either. 2 of 11 from 3, 7 of 17 from the field, but got the game winner there. And he's a bright young star, I think. Not a star, but a promising young player in this league, you think, right?
Yeah, you watch him and you can tell he's definitely going to stick in the league. As long as he can stay out there and stay healthy, he's going to be a player in the league.
DeAndre Hunter, too, his return tonight as well. And his activity on the defensive end, especially on DeMar, especially when they threw that zone on him, just getting deflections, getting the ball loose. I thought he was a real game changer for them as well.
Yeah, he made DeMar extremely uncomfortable, it seemed like. DeMar was 14 of 15 from the free throw line. He was really able to draw some fouls, but he was only 10 of 21 from the floor. So when he was shooting the ball, he was shooting under 50%. So the defense was definitely there.
Yeah, defense was there all night. It looked like DeAndre Hunter was the better number 4 overall pick tonight. Patrick Williams had his moments, though. He had a couple of blocks. He actually was really active on the offensive boards, too. Seven rebounds and 2 offensive rebounds, 8 points, 4 of 10 from the field. I mean, pretty good game from Patrick, right? I mean, this is like
He had a good game, but yeah. Derek Jones Jr. was – he was in the game just as much, but I think he was playing a little bit better. He was a little more active. And Kobe White was really the guy who probably stole the Patrick Williams minutes, to be honest. And that's just because we needed the ball handling out there. Kobe having 31 minutes is just, I feel like that's a lot for him. And I know Io was out, but we have Dragic. We had, we've got Zach and DeMar. If Kobe's not playing well, he's not getting 31 minutes, no matter who else is on the team.
Oh, yeah, he's got a short leash for sure. So he was playing well anyways. But, yeah, I think Io going out really changed the texture of this game, though. I feel like that was when it became more of a, the Bulls were, like, kind of underdogs at that point because, like you said, the ball handling just wasn't there for the Bulls.
I feel like the way to judge the Patrick Williams thing is anytime during down the stretch did you think, wow, they're benching Patrick Williams here? Because I didn't. I know he wasn't on the floor. But I didn't at any time think they were benching him because of his play. I just thought they were rolling with the guys that had the hot hand.
Yeah. No, I didn't feel like he played particularly terribly. There were a few plays where, I wish he would have made different decisions, but still a learning process with Patrick. But we got to talk about the elephant in the room here. Zach LaVine, 7 turnovers, 9 of 16 from the field, which is, good. 1 of 5 from 3, not so great. He had some moments, obviously, where, especially towards the end of the game when it was clutch time, where he got some big buckets, those couple of dunks coming down to the end of regulation. But overall, this is not exactly what we want to see from, our max player, our star. I feel like we need a little bit more out of Zach. What do you think?
Yeah, he needs to find some easier buckets, it seems like. There was the Hawks were inviting a lot of jump shooting, and sometimes the shots don't fall. Tonight was the night where the shots weren't falling, and they were contested shots, it seemed like, he was taking. He had some absolutely ridiculous plays. Also, like you said, it was just the second night of a back-to-back. I know they didn't necessarily have to play a lot, but for him, someone coming back from an injury, maybe that makes a difference on your jumper. I guess when I was watching the game, I didn't ever think, man, Zach is killing us this game. And I have felt that in games before. Mm. But there wasn't ever really a point in this one where I ever felt that it was just Zach, other than again, the zone thing. But
yeah,
that was a team failure.
Yeah, that's true. So maybe not all seven of those turnovers are on Zach. I do feel like there were a couple of not so great decision making things that were happening, but I mean, it wasn't a terrible game from Zach. You're right. So I can't I'm not placing this loss.
I mean, you don't want Zach to have seven turnovers. That's not ideal. You can't have that from your star player. You're right. That's unacceptable. No matter what defensive wrinkles they're throwing at you, you have to be able to figure it out when you're a three level scorer. But I guess the turnovers, I can live with those with Zach because at least he's trying to play make. Whereas whenever he's shooting, you know, 3 of 12, 3 of 15, those are the nights where I'm like, man, those are the ones that kill me.
But not a bad week. We went 2-1, you know, a win over the Wizards and a win over the Mavs. We haven't really talked a lot about the Wizards game, so we can hit that here. If you guys want to win consistently, though, I do want to tell you something. If you're DFS players out there, go get that DFS pass from sportsethos.com. It is very cheap right now. It's $4.99 a month, and, you know, it's going to go up, so you might as well grab it now before it does. You can also get the Sports Ethos 360 Pass, which gets you the Wager Pass and the Fantasy Pass as well. Gets you access to all of that, those goodies, and all that behind the paywall good stuff that's going to help you win your fantasy leagues, help you get win all your bets, all that fantastic stuff. So you should go get it at sportsethos.com, and you should go sign up today. So, yeah, you know, again, you know, the Mavs game kind of just I mean, it was just a breeze, right? There wasn't really much to take away from that. Mavs really didn't show up to play. Kind of a scheduled loss for them. The one thing I did notice was Tim Hardaway Jr. just was atrocious. If he wasn't, it might have been a closer game. But I don't even need to pull up his box score. I bet he was like, you know, 20% from the field or something like that, 15%. Something along those lines, because he was wide open in the corner for threes the entire game and kept taking them and kept missing them, luckily. So, you know, that's just not a recipe for a good basketball game. So the Bulls took advantage and won easily.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Wizards game. Beal didn't play in that one, but the Wizards still had the lead going into the fourth by 1 point, and the Bulls were able to pull it out. I went back and looked at the box score. It was nice because DeMar, Vooch, and Zach, they all had 25-plus in that game. So the starters, when they played, they were plus 10. Vucevic was plus 13. Zach was plus 14. Caruso was plus 17. So when the starters were in, they were fine. It seemed like one of those games where the Bulls just kind of – they knew they could turn it on because Beal wasn't out there, and unfortunately they weren't able to do that tonight.
So, you know, let's talk big picture. You know, we've got all these Bulls fans out there talking about, oh my gosh, let's blow it up. We got to blow it up. This is not and you and I have said, you know, second hardest adjusted strength of schedule. You know, can you blow it up? I think that's where we kind of land down. You know, if you want to blow it up, you can. You've got the pieces to blow it up and get a nice enough return that you don't like get stuck in a rebuild for 5, 6, 7 years. But on the flip side of that, the Bulls are right in the mix of things, even though they're behind everybody else. As I was saying before, you know, they're pretty much like 2 or 3 games out of the playoffs at this point. And, you know, they've got a pretty easy schedule coming up here, Trey. So, I mean, this, you know, again, let's just reiterate, we're about sticking on the course.
I said right? It last show. I'm going to say it this show. Get back to me in, you know, 10 games after these easier games that the Bulls are getting ready to have. Mm-hmm. Because if they're in the thick of the playoffs with Lonzo, you know, maybe coming back at the end of the year, maybe not till next year. But if they're in the thick of the playoffs with the rest of the East without, you know, their starting point guard who is a key cog, which I know – betting on Lonzo, that's a long bet, but that's what the Bulls are betting on at this stage. Like, if you're not blowing it up, that's you're betting on Lonzo being able to come and be a piece, I feel like. And I'm willing to make that bet at this stage. But so at this time next week, me and you are probably going to be taping after the Timberwolves game at 7 p.m. They're going to play the Knicks twice and then the Timberwolves 3-0. If they go 3-0 there instead of being 11-15, they're 14-15, right back in the mix of thing. Then you've got the Heat and the Hawks and the Knicks and the Rockets.
Yeah, and that's
if the Bulls, okay, so December 28th, they play the Bucks. if the Bulls aren't at least 500 by then, I think that's when you really need to start discussing blowing it up.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think it's a wait and see type of thing right now, because of that easy schedule coming up here. And, you know, obviously the Bulls need to secure some wins. I'm confident they can, though. Again, tough loss today on Sunday, but a 2-1 week is not a bad week. You beat the Wizards, which are a decent, mediocre, but a decent basketball team. You beat the Mavs without Luka Doncic. It was kind of a whatever game. And then you lost a close one against the Hawks team, where you're both kind of down a few players, obviously. Should have been a win, but it wasn't. And it is what it is. I don't think he's up. Standings have updated yet. I think the Bulls are actually 9.5 games out of first. But either way, the Bulls are roughly 2 to 3 games out of the sixth spot, which is where my bet lies with our Sports Ethos Celtics guy. If the Bulls are a top six team, he has to change all his stuff to Bulls stuff for a week. And if they aren't, then I've changed all my stuff to a Celtics stuff for a week. So I've still got hope there. And I think you're right, Trey. I think, you know, at the end of this week, you know, if the Bulls can climb these standings a little bit and maybe get into that 9-8 spot, I think we're looking okay. And this is about what we imagined when the season started, because we said, you know, the Bulls are probably a sixth-ish, you know, team in the East. And if not that, then they're a play-in team. And that's what we're looking at here. I mean, they're just outside of the play-in right now. So we're right in line with expectations. And so I don't really know what fans want out of this. I mean, we all want to win championships. But I guess, you know, let me ask you this question, which is more of a philosophical question than just a straight Bulls question. But, you know, is there value in being a team that hangs around in the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th spot of the, you know, standings and plays playoff series and brings some excitement? I mean, is there a value in that, or is it better to go all or nothing?
With this ownership? Mm-hmm. Probably not. If you have an ownership like the Lakers, like even the Knicks, Brooklyn, that's willing to spend money, go into the luxury tax, willing to bring in guys no matter the cost, I think it's willing to showcase your talent to show, hey, yeah, the squad we have here, they might be a 4 or 5 seed who's just a pesky out in the first round to the Bucks like the Bulls were. But if they, you know, if they're willing to spend the money and bring in that top tier talent might be willing to come. But that's just not the reality of Chicago sports. So for me, I don't see the value in it unless you believe that at your top end, you can contend with those title teams if there's an injury. Say like last year, Chris Middleton got injured and was out. So like if you think the Bulls at their healthiest can compete with those teams, then I think it's worth it. But if you can't see that happening, then no, I'm all about the lottery.
Well, we do have wins against the Celtics both times we've played them, right? And we do have wins against above 500 teams this season. So
that narrative no longer exists against the Celtics.
Those are those are good
wins. I think this and again, I know Lonzo is a mystery, but if he would ever come back, mm-hmm. that is a huge chip that the Bulls have. Mm-hmm. And I find it hard to want to blow this team up without getting to see this team, because unless they're just nosediving and you can get those Lakers picks way off in the future for free, you know, completely unprotected, then maybe you look into it. But who's to say that deal's not going to be there next year?
Yeah, it's a good point. And, you know, the Bulls obviously have no control over their own pick this upcoming season, unless it's a top four. But I mean, that's probably not going to happen. So at this point, you know, we're stuck with what we've got. I don't think blowing it up is actually literally on the table. I don't think anyone in the organization is thinking about it. We're just going to see how this goes. And, you know, I think it's a playoff team. I don't think I'm as excited this year as I was last season about the team, Trey. And maybe part of that is because of the Lonzo Ball injury, because I think he's such an important part.
You mean you're not as excited about the, 12th place Chicago Bulls as you were about the first place Chicago Bulls?
Well, man,
I can't believe that.
Well, I mean, even before the season started, I wasn't like – last season I was betting their overs and their win totals and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And this season I just wasn't as excited. I felt like the narrative out there was that, you know, they stagnated, they didn't make any moves. and everyone else in the East kind of got stronger and did make moves. I mean, obviously you got Donovan Mitchell in Cleveland. You know, you had some other big, you know, Brunson in New York, all that kind of stuff. DeJounte Murray in Atlanta. And the Bulls didn't really add that guy. They added just kind of fringe pieces, which, you know, I think have done well, have provided value for the Bulls. But I still wasn't as excited about this team going into the season as I was last
season.
Fair.
But I do think
part of that was because of the Lonzo Ball thing too, because, you know, that really was a gut punch for me, because I was kind of excited until that kind of happened. And then I was like, all right, well, now we're looking at the same team we had the second half of last season, which was not very good, right?
Right. Well, you know what? Here in literally 1 week after the Bulls go 3-0, after they beat the Timberwolves, and we're talking next week, you're going to be excited. You're going to be ready to go. You're going to be excited for that next game against the Miami Heat, because who doesn't love beating the Heat? Wouldn't it just be nice to beat the Heat to go on a nice 4-game winning streak?
Yes, it would.
Speaking that into existence right now.
And I love Jimmy Butler. I'll always love Jimmy Butler. But yeah, F the Heat, as always. And he's one of the Heat right now. So F him too. So there you go. That's where I land on that kind of thing. By the way, guys, if you do want to bet some props, we were speaking a little bit about that before. Go to ThriveFantasy.com. Use promo code ETHOS to get a deposit match bonus up to $250. And go win some props. I mean, win some contests and win a whole bunch of money with us here at Sports Ethos. We do give out those picks as part of that DFS pass as well. So anyways, any last thoughts here before we head out for the day? You know, it's been a rough day, but not a bad week as a Bulls fan. So what? Any other thoughts on your mind about the Bulls that we haven't discussed yet? Okay.
I like the rotations. I feel like Billy Donovan's been kind of hitting the right notes. So go Bulls and continue this good play. Because, if they would have just been able to pull this win out tonight, they would be on such a run. And instead, it's such a downer, but it's just a little baby downer. We're going to, again, 3-0, another run coming.
I like your positivity tonight. No, but the Bulls have been extremely unlucky. I'll say that much. So they could be +4 in the win column as far as, like, you know, losing close games, clutch games. And that's just, like, that's not the profile of this team. I do believe that this team still has that quote-unquote clutch factor. I mean, you've got DeMar DeRozan on the team, and you've got Zach LaVine on the team, who's proven to be, in the past, one of the best clutch players. And he did it again tonight. The Bulls didn't pull out a win, but, you know, just cold as ice, you know, taking it to the rim, dunking the basketball, not afraid. So I don't feel like this team is going to be a team that struggles in the clutch in the long run. If they were +4 wins, Trey, they would be probably fifth, sixth in the standings right now, fourth, maybe even. So we wouldn't be having the same conversation. So I don't think, you know, if I'm looking for a silver lining here, or a bit of positivity, it's just that, you know, luck is just that. Luck can always turn around. That's the one thing luck can do. Luck can always turn around. It's never going to be the same every single day. So, Bulls fans, keep your heads up. We're going to get some wins here. Trey believes it. I believe it. If you want to follow me on Twitter, go follow me at BSBPKeith. And Trey, where can the good people find you, man?
On Twitter at FinalFinally.
And please do follow the show on Twitter also, guys, at EthosBulls. That's at EthosBulls. Follow us there. We do post all of our shows so you don't miss any going forward. But hey, until then, here we go.